I don't know where your Bible reading or Bible study has been lately. I have been in several different places in my own study, but just a few days ago, I was looking through the book of Jude. How many knows that you can read the book of Jude real quick? Really quick. 25 verses, and you can just go through it real quick, but it is powerful, and it is encouraging. As a matter of fact, one of the most wonderful and powerful promises in all the New Testament is found in the book of Jude. Amen. So let's look here at a few verses here, and that promise is Jude 24. There's only one chapter, of course. Jude 24 is one of the greatest promises in the New Testament. So let's read that, and then we'll read a few other verses in the book of Jude. Jude 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Now that is a wonderful promise. Amen. You do not have to fall. Amen. Him that is able to keep you from falling. Let's back up a few verses, back to verse 17. Actually, let's read verse 1, and then we'll skip to verse 17. We could read the whole chapter, but we'll just we won't do that. Jude chapter 1, and verse 1. Jude, the servant of Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fire, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. Now, the book of Jude was written, the apostle Jude wanted to write another gospel account. If he would have followed through with what his first intentions were, there was going to be Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Jude. He said, I intended to write of that common salvation. Another gospel account is what was first of all in his mind. That's what it says. But then he said it was needful for me. He felt compelled. We know that all the scripture is inspired of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Ghost dealt with him, instead of writing what he set out to write, he was inspired to write something because of the urgency of the situation. He said, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so the compelling of the Spirit to him was, you need to write this book, Jude, even though it's a short little letter, this to address the fact that Christian people are going to find themselves in a struggle with the adversary. They're going to struggle. They're going to have warfare. They're going to have a battle with the enemy of their soul. We all, as Christians, know that the Christian experience is not always just an easy thing. We do have battles. And we know that we have an adversary, the enemy, Satan himself, who wants to attack us and stop us and hinder us from all the blessings that are ours. But this was written to be to encourage everyone to be on alert. Be alert, because there are situations, there are times when the enemy comes against you. It's more needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. When you go through starting there with verse number 4, it describes the different ways that the enemy would come in. And it would be many times underhanded, in secret, those that would come in sometimes into the church to do damage to the church. Sometimes there would be situations that would come against you personally to attack you. And behind it all is just the enemy of your soul. And he wants to rob you of your hope and of your salvation. Can you lose your salvation? I might surprise you if I say, no, you can't lose your salvation. Let me give you a few verses here. But before you fall out on the floor, just stay with me a few minutes here. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a verse that's oft quoted by those who believe in eternal security. No man can pluck them out of my hand. That's the word of God. Man doesn't have the power to rob you of your salvation. He can't do it. And he can tempt you. He can hinder you. He can come against you. And we know that Satan sometimes uses people, and that it can be challenging to your faith many times. The very next verse says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man, it's repeated there again, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Amen. So be encouraged tonight. I think a lot of Christians, they think, well, if I make one little misstep and one little failure, that I'm just hopelessly lost because I've made one little mistake along the way. Well, I don't believe it's true. I do believe that we should walk carefully. We should walk cautiously. But we also understand that we're living under this wonderful provision of grace and the salvation that's been given to us. And no, you cannot lose your salvation. Can you leave your salvation? Yes, you can. You can walk away from it. You can walk away from it. By your own will and your own volition, you can choose to walk away from the Lord. John 17, the same writer, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, Jesus speaking, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept. And none of them is lost, talking about the disciples, but the son of perdition, talking about Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas was the son of perdition, and by his choice, by his willful choice, he did not lose his salvation, but he left it. He walked away from God, walked away from what he knew, and left. A lot of things, no doubt, that were affecting that decision, primarily that he was sucked into deception and the love of things, the love of money, caused his heart to go after them and to walk away from Jesus Christ. It's really hard to imagine that someone could walk with him, could sit under his teaching, and could be that close to him and yet make a decision to walk away from the Lord. But let me tell you, the enemy of your soul comes with great force and power to try to deceive you and rob you of your hope and your salvation and cause you to turn away from God. And people make that decision. It's devastating whenever a Christian, especially a Christian leader, walks away from the Lord. I don't believe that backsliding is something that happens, you know, just overnight. I do believe it is a process that takes place in the minds and the hearts of people. And it may have been something that's been going on for a while as they were gradually making steps in a direction away from God. And then suddenly you realize that they have completely divorced themselves from the things of God. And we kind of stand back in shock that this has happened. But deep in their heart, there's been something going on for a long time. And they were gradually making decisions to leave God, to walk away from God. You don't lose your first love. You leave your first love. That's what the scripture says. A man in the church that I grew up in was probably one of, if not the most influential man in the church. He was a spiritual leader. He was a fairly young man. I thought he was old because I was a kid. But now I know he was fairly young man. But he was an influencer in the church. And all that I remembered was an influencer for good. He noticed everybody. He was concerned about everybody. He was involved in the ministries of the church. He worked with children. He worked with youth. He served in offices in the church. And he was looked to. And whenever he completely backslid, my dad wasn't serving the Lord all those years. And I remember overhearing my dad say when he heard about this to my mom, well, I would have thought of anybody in that church to do what he's done before him. How many times has it been true that you've witnessed that the enemy would come against someone that's an influencer, that's a spiritual leader, someone that's loved, someone that's admired, and to come against them and to allure them away from God? This man eventually walked away from God, walked away from his family, lived his life without God, and years later, when I'm a pastor now, in close to the same area, I go one day to see him and talk to him about the Lord. Now he's, you know, much older, a retired man now. He's been away from God for much more years, many more years than he had served God. And when I talked to him, he just bowed his head and said, there's no way I can ever get back. I could never get back. He was deceived and convinced that there was no hope for him. And I don't know that he ever made the effort to get back to God. I don't know that he ever did before he passed away. Now, I don't want to spend time on something that makes you feel discouraged. But I want to remind you of that promise here again. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. But you have to look at the scripture. The answer to spiritual problems and spiritual needs is always in the Word of God. Search the scriptures. Find the answers in God's Word. And you can see, backing up just a few verses from this promise, that says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Back up just a few verses of scripture that we read to you there, beginning with verse number 20. But ye, beloved, as describing in the previous verses there about those that in the last days there would be those that would be opposers and those that would be mockers of Christ and of the things of God. But you're different. You're different. You don't fall prey to that. But ye, beloved. And there's four things listed here in these couple of verses I want to call your attention to. How that you can build yourself up. How that you can remain strong in the Lord. And how that God wants to help you so that you never, ever have to fall. He can keep us. There is a keeping power in serving the Lord. And notice here in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourself. That's what we are to do. Amen. We are to be strengthening ourselves and building up, strengthening, edifying ourselves in the things of the Lord. That is to be something that we're always conscious of, that I'm strengthening myself in the things of the Lord. I read the Bible. I study the Bible. I spend time in the presence of God. I go to the house of God. I walk in obedience to the things of the Lord. I want to build myself up in the things of God. What do people do that fall? Look at the previous verse. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. You notice that before? People begin to separate themselves away from the very things that they need. They separate themselves. They back away from spiritual things, from godly things, from righteous things, and fill up their life with things that are sensual, things that are fleshly, things that are not of the Spirit. They fill their lives with those things. They make decisions to move in that direction instead of to be building up themselves in their most holy faith. So what is it that should characterize us as Christians in these days who understand the promise of God? We know that God has promised that He will keep us from falling. Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the fellowship with God. Obviously, through the Word of the Lord, the study of the Word of God. Keep yourself in the love of God through prayer in the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. That's how we strengthen ourselves, isn't it? Through the Word of the Lord. Study of the Word of God. Building yourself. Feeding your spiritual man on the truths of the Word of God. We talked about this Sunday morning and how important it is that you put Him first and you put the Word of God first before anything else, that you honor the Lord, and even the first part of your day and the Lord's day are to be days that you're strengthening yourself, building up yourself in the Word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not just it's not duty. It's spiritual food that sustains us and strengthens us. The study of the Scripture. And then it says, build yourself up. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We have to move from, as a Christian, from a person that's just saying prayers. Anybody can recite prayers. Anyone can go through vain repetition and just say the same words over and over again. And go through a routine of prayer. But this is much deeper than that, much more powerful than that. We're to be strengthened by the Word of God, keeping yourself in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Spirit. We get in the spirit of prayer. Now, those of you if served the Lord for any length of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's prayers that we pray that are just, you know, without all that much thought and all that much effort that can be prayed. It's just words that we repeat, and it's just saying prayers. You notice how many people say, I'm praying for you. I'll be praying for you. When something tragic happens in your life, I'll be praying for you. And you wonder, are they truly praying? Then there's that whole new next level of prayer where you are praying in the Spirit. You literally get into the spirit of prayer. And you push out the fleshly and out the carnal, and you've entered into the spirit of prayer whereby you are praying the same things that Jesus would be praying. Amen. To enter into the spirit of prayer and to pray with the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes that's even with groanings that can't be uttered. Sometimes It's praying in tongues, words that you don't know exactly what you are praying, but you are praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe you can be anointed of God to pray. You can be anointed of the Spirit to enter into to real prayer and intercession. Amen. Build yourself in your most holy faith. Get in the Word of God. Number two, pray in the Spirit. Pray with the Spirit. Number three, verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? By walking in obedience to God. Keep yourself in that place that you are in right relationship with God. And you're walking in obedience to the command of the Lord. Keep yourself in the love of God. And number four, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How long do we make this commitment? Until Jesus comes. And we live our life with that anticipation that He's going to come. And He's going to come soon. And we're not going to get bogged down by the world or other hindrances that are around us. Now, if you're following the admonition here of the Scripture, you're not going to fall. You're not going to fail. You're going to stay right in that place that God wants you to be. He is able to keep you. He is able to keep you. Now let's back up to verse. Let's look at verse 22. Because there's been some, I think, some misinterpretation of these verses. And of some have compassion, making a difference. This verse is talking about that there are at least two different types of things that go on in the life of a person who's walking away from God. And that we are to be discerning. I know we've used that verse to say, have compassion, making a difference. To say, I want to make a difference. And that's a good theme and that's a good thought. But really this verse of Scripture is talking about that instead that we are able to discern what is going on in the life of a person that's going in a direction that they shouldn't be going. And if some have compassion, making a difference or show a distinction, see what's going on in their life. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Of some have compassion. There are some people that are going in a direction that they shouldn't be going. And it's because they've been deceived or maybe confused. Maybe they got discouraged, taken in by some situation. They were weak, they were vulnerable. And that person, they need compassion. Make a difference. Understand that there are some people that seem to be walking away from the Lord, and they just need you to go to them with love and compassion and to reach out to them. But then you have to distinguish between that kind of a person and the person that is already hardened by the fire. They're already convinced that they're going in the right direction and they're going the wrong direction. Others, it says, some have compassion on them, understanding that they have been caught up in this. They were weak, they were vulnerable, and they need compassion. But there are others that we see them differently. They're already in the fire. And it says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. So how do we make a distinction? I believe that we, as Christians, that we should involve ourselves in the lives of people who are walking away from God. Too often, I'm guilty. We're guilty. We just watch them walk away. Some of them need compassion. Some of them need us to come to them and wrap our arms around them and love them and encourage them. And if they're deceived by something, help to lead them out of that deception. There are others, though, that we make a difference. We see a distinction in them. And we still go after them. But we go after them like it's a very serious
rescue operation. That they're caught up in a trap. They're caught up in the fire. And they need to be delivered. And they need to understand that that kind of a person, then you have to, as the Lord directs you, they need to hear it very straightforward from you. This is what Jesus did when he dealt with the Pharisees. He confronted them. He was blunt with them. And he showed them severe warnings. If you keep going this direction, then there's going to be judgment and there's going to be devastation if you continue in the direction. So that verse means that we make a difference. We make a distinction between those that are deceived, vulnerable, caught up in a trap, and are being led away from, and others that have, out of self-will, have hardened themselves, and they're already in the fire of being fully convinced that they're moving in the right direction. We understand that that's the kind of person. Sure, it's not that we don't show compassion, but we deal with them differently. Amen. We come to them and we help them to see the error of their way, yes, but we point them to the fact that Jesus can set them free. But we make them we remind them of the fact of the consequences and the seriousness of the move that they're making away from God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Really, what we do is we enter into a battle, into a warfare for them. He is able to keep you from falling. And there are those that have been caught into a trap and they were deceived or weak. And those, we can go to them and we can, out of love and compassion, we can pull them back toward the kingdom of God. But others, we make a difference and we deal with them with a little bit more of a straightforwardness and helping them to see what you are doing will destroy you. It'll destroy your life. It will destroy your potential. Now, does anybody do this? No. You need to be directed and led of the Spirit to do this. But we need to be involved in reaching those that are entrapped by the enemy. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That by the Spirit of God, God uses us. You remember what was going on in David's life? David was set out on a direction of destruction. He was walking away from the will of God. He not only had committed adultery with Bathsheba, but he also had taken her husband, put him on the front lines. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was a liar. And it seems with every step he was going further and further and further away from God. What did David need? He needed a Nathan. He needed a prophet to speak to him and say, "You're the one. You're the guilty one. You're the one." And as a result of that prophetic word, David melted and recognized that it was him and that it was his own choices and his own sinfulness that he got him in the predicament that he was in. Now, why have I gone through all of this? Again, been very strong in my spirit, very strong in my spirit, that the Lord wants to restore backsliders, many backsliders. He wants to bring them back into the kingdom and restore them. But we need to understand what the Bible says. He's able to keep us from falling. And we need to understand how that God can help use us as we battle in the Spirit for their souls. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Amen. Amen. It is a heartbreaking thing whenever someone walks away from the Lord. As I illustrated in my young life, as I witnessed that, he'd been a
Sunday school teacher and a leader in the church, and his influence was far-reaching. And I remember the confusion and the challenge, even to me as a young person. Could I ever serve God? How could I ever make it? If he fails, how could I ever live faithfully to the Lord, for the Lord? Well, you can. You can. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You don't have to go back. You don't have to turn away. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Make your commitments to the Lord and to obedience to the things of the Lord, and be looking for the coming of the Lord, and understand that God can keep you in that place that you need to be. Amen. Father, I thank you for the promise of your Word, and I know, Lord, that the enemy attacks, and he comes against us with all kind of deceptive lies to try to hinder us and to keep us from being what you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you can keep us from falling. And I pray, Lord, that you also can use us, Lord, as an instrument and a vessel that is reaching out to those, Lord, and to bring them back into the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, would you restore the backsliders wherever they are right now. Wherever they are right now, Lord. Lord, that you would deal with their life and deal with their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.